Somewhere along the way in the life of Robert Landry, somebody told me that variety was the spice of life. And I know I don't have to tell you this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you anyway. We got a little variety in our music this morning. So if we got a little variety in our music this morning, that means we got a little spice in our life. How many agree with that? How many agree with that? Now look, y'all going to have to tell me what you're calling yourself, because I don't want to be standing up here telling my get old folks a hand. That's all right. Like, I ain't going to talk about the old folks, because, you know, there was a time, Elder McCarter, when I used to say them folk. Nah, all one. our other choir, how about that? Our other praise team. Am I getting it right, Minister of Music? Other praise team. All right, yeah. So we've been blessed? You've been blessed this morning. My heart is just bursting with joy, because I'm going to be honest with you. I was talking to Sis last night, Sister Paula, and when we talked about the one call going out, I didn't have high expectations. I thought I was going to have one of them situations like they was talking about in the NBA and the NCAA, where they were going to play in front of an empty arena. And I was wondering how many people was going to show up. Now, I don't want to make little of the virus. That's not what I'm doing. I encourage you to be cautious, concerned. Take the next necessary precautions to protect yourself and your family. You know, God says that we are to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. The opposite of that is, don't be foolish. Don't be a dodo bird. You know what I mean? This thing is real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even... how would I phrase it? Your president is now talking about going getting tested. And I'm sitting there, and I got to pray, because I'm saying, Lord, help me to be humble. Because I'm saying, why is he going to get tested for something he said is a hoax? And that's why I had to start praying, because the first thing popped in my mind was, he's an idiot. I said, oh, Lord, hell, help me, help me, help me, help me. I don't want to be calling the man names, okay? I don't want to do that. So enough about him and more about us. I forgot to mention to you this morning, the pews are not here because they had a fire at their home on yesterday, Brother and Sister Pugh. So I talked with him last night, and he said he wasn't going to be able to make it. He got some things he got to do there. Fire started out under his carport. Thank God no one was hurt. So God blessed him, because like he told me, it could have been a whole lot worse. Amen. And also, we're going to touch on it at the end of the service, but keep a few of our members in prayer. Sister Weegar and Sister Beauchamp, they had death in their family, okay? So we want to keep them in prayer. And our pastor, keep him in prayer. He's doing a revival. Where is he doing his revival at? Miami. Oh, well, I don't feel bad for him now. Sister Miller? Jessica Miller? Oh. It's a what? Keep her in prayer. Okay, all right. So you look. That's the thing we need to do now. We need to be aware of what's going on with our people. You know, we don't use the term much no more, but this is the family of God. See, wait a minute. How many in here got siblings? And what do you call them? Brothers? Sisters? Why you call them that? They're family. Now, the last time I checked, you can go in the Bible, and it talks about brothers and sisters in Christ. It talks about children of God. So that makes us family. I know we don't act like it sometimes. We don't treat each other like it sometimes. But then you're right. Maybe we do act like it sometimes. Yeah. But we don't want to be a dysfunctional family. We want to show our people that we care about them and we love them. Amen? Amen. Amen. So with that, I would ask you to stand as the scripture comes up on our screen and we shall read the word of God together. Say amen if you see it. Amen, amen. Together? Bless me and enlarge my coast. That it may not grieve me, and God grant him. Now Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and shall seek, knock. Amen. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about the practicality of prayer this morning. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, mold me, use me, Lord. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross that you may be lifted up and glorified. And Lord, I will be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, some time ago, before a guy by the name of Bruce Wilkerson wrote this New York Times bestseller called The Prayer of Jabez, not many people was familiar with who Jabez was, including some of us as Christians. Why? It's because it's one of those books with this long list of genealogies where it's so easy to lose focus and get lost up in the begats and the begots. Nevertheless, it's a very insightful passage. We find there that in the first 9 chapters of Chronicles, it's listing the family tree of the Hebrew tribes beginning with Adam and proceeding through thousands of years of Israel's return from captivity. Most of the names, which is more than 500 of them, are unfamiliar to us. But something happened because 44 names into the chapter, we are given the shortest biography ever recorded in the Bible. Here in Chronicles 4, there's a break among the seemingly endless names of people where 2 verses tell us, and Jabez was more honorable than his brother. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be upon me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And God granted him what he requested. in the biography. You go back and pick up in verse 11, they go right back to naming the names of the list of the tribe. And this one begat that one, and he had sons, and his son begat that one. So what was it about this man, Jabez, that caused the historian to just pause his writing and talk about him? What was it that he felt it was so necessary to give us a brief glimpse into his life? Because in the grand scheme of things, if you want to be honest about it, Jabez would be way down on Israel's list of who's who. We are not given any detail on his accomplishments. We don't know if he accomplished any amazing feats. And you know, as I was studying for this message, and I was reading just about everything I could get my hands on with Jabez, because like I said, you're talking about two verses. And I usually can rely on my Seventh-day Adventist commentaries. They were unusually quiet. And I know the devil was messing with me, because I also got a set of books called a pulpit commentary. So I know they're going to have something. It's 24 volumes. Just to give you an idea of the scope of it. 24 volumes, but the Seventh-day Adventist commentary is 10 volumes, and three of them consist of dictionary, encyclopedia, and source book. So you got seven books. But the pulpit commentary has 24 volumes on the books of the Bible. And I could not find the volume on Chronicles. I don't know where it's at. And I racked my brains, and I couldn't find it. And that was strange, because I never loaned my books. So I know it's in there. So I just decided to believe that the devil hid it from me. He didn't want me talking about Jabez. But what I'm getting at is that as I looked at his life, because there's not much information on his life, there are many Bible scholars and preachers out there that are willing to speculate. You know what they say about us: what we can't find out, we make up. Yeah. See, so what they started talking about was that, oh, his mother bore him in pain. Now, that's all the Bible says. And the first thing that came to my mind, they started saying, well, you know, he was a troubled child. He had a troubled life. You got all that from his mother bore him in pain. That's all the scripture said. And it confused me, because I'm no expert on the subject, but I've been told that having the baby ain't no picnic. Just curious to wonder, you mothers in here, how many of you brought any of your children into the world with absolutely no pain? But because she named him Jabez, they wanted to reflect on his character as if he was a messed up young man, a confused young man. And then, if that's not enough, then they go to the thing, because if you look at the genealogies in the chapter, and as it mentioned, so-and-so was the father of so-and-so and so-and-so, there's no mention of Jabez's father. There's no mention of his children. None. So one of the articles I come across say that's why his mother was bore him in pain. Yeah, his father was a deadbeat dad. He may have been a rabble rouser. He wasn't there for the family. But I come back to the fact that the scripture doesn't tell me that. I don't see that. I don't get that out of these two verses. And the next thing it tells us that he was more honorable than his brethren. And they immediately jumped to the fact that his brothers was dishonorable. No. See, the scripture said he was more honorable. Now, that don't tell me whether his brothers was less honorable or dishonorable. All it tells me is he was more honorable. But then after I got through all that, siphoned through all that, I said, none of that is significant here. So I had to ask the Lord, why in the midst of this list of genealogy, in a list of this census of the nation of Israel, why did you slip these two verses in the record? And I believe that God slipped them in there because he wanted us to understand the practicality of prayer, the power of prayer. Now, I'm not saying that your parents didn't have some problems in this life. Because that would be a foolish sentiment on my part, because my Bible tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory. And if all have sinned, I can guarantee you all have some problems. So I know he has some problems, but the scripture didn't see where it was necessary to explain that to us. And that tells me that the scripture wanted us to focus on the prayer. Now, whatever was going on in Jabez's life, somewhere along the way, at some point, at some time, in the midst of his difficulties, in the midst of his situation, he recognized that the God he served was an almighty God. And he stepped back because he was tired of things being as they were. And he called on the God of Israel. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And then see, how do we know Jabez was asking for something special? You see, for most of us, we don't reduce blessings down to something you say after somebody sneezes. Something you say before you start eating. No. That's not what blessings is all about. When you ask God to bless you, you're asking God to impart supernatural favor into your life, to change something about you. Your situation, your circumstances, your character. It's not about sneezing. How do I know that? From one simple little word. Oh, would thou bless me indeed. Indeed. And when I looked that up, it said indeed as extra emphasis to the statement that you just made. Extra emphasis. Would you bless me indeed? Matter of fact, one of the writers say in the Hebrew language, adding indeed to a statement is the equivalent of putting 5 exclamation points behind it. Or writing it out in all capital letters and underlining it, because you want to emphasize this point. I don't want there to be no mistake about this, God. I want you to bless me, and I want you to bless me indeed. What I'm saying, God, is I want you to give me everything you got for me. I don't even know what it is. I don't care what it is, because I know if it's coming from you, it's good. So bless me indeed. Now, but you know, Lord, I do have a little wish list here. See, because what I want you to do, I want you to enlarge my territory. But see, when he asking for enlarging our territory, we got to understand, this is not about material possession. This is not about houses and cars and fine clothes, all these things are nice. I don't want you around here walking to church looking like a bum, broke. No. All those things have their place. But what Jabez was asking for was, Lord, I want you to give me more opportunities. I want you to give me more influence. Why? So I can do more for you. I want to be a blessing to everyone around me. And all of us got certain things boxing us in and hemming us in and chaining us. You might can look over there and say, I don't chase women. I don't run after men. I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes. But I guarantee you there's something you're doing. There's something you're struggling with. There's something you need God to free you from. So when I ask him, Lord, enlarge my territory, I'm not just asking for material things. I'm asking God to free me. You might already have enough territory, but whatever you chained to is not letting you explore it. Enlarge my territory. We sit in here every Sabbath and read our mission statement. To proclaim in unity. The everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. Among believers, we got that part. Sitting there every week, get there. Here's the part we got problems with. And throughout the community. Is that in our territory? Well, let me ask you a question. People in that house right across the street, do they know us? They know the church is here. Because they got a sign outside, and I'm assuming they can read it. But do they know us? You know what? Let me give you one a little worse than that. We don't halfway know each other. That's why we don't act like a family. We don't really know each other. And we get hung up on insignificant things. Matter of fact, a very good friend of mine said, we major in minors and we minor in majors. Jabez wants to break out of that cycle. He wants to break out of it. So he asked God to enlarge his territory. In other words, Lord, give me more. But not just so I can say I have more, but so I can do more for you. See, to ask God to bless you indeed is not to ask God for more of what you can get for yourself. That's why you are asking him to impart divine favor into your life. Because what you need and what you want, you can't make it happen. Jabez knew and understood that. But see, he didn't stop there. He then said, let thy hand be with me. What you talking about, Jabez? Why? You're asking Lord to let his hand be with you. Because when we talk about his hand, we're talking about his power. His power to protect. His power to guide. His power to bless, his power to heal, his power to change, his power to transform, to create us a new creature in Jesus Christ. And they didn't see, Lord, I need you there because my nature is all messed up. My want is still perverted from the sin of this world. So what I need, Lord, is your hand to be with me so that as you bless me, I don't start messing with my blessings by doing things that are not pleasing in your sight. And see, if God's hands is with me, I don't care what you try to do to me or what they try to do to you. Whatever evil comes up against you, it will never prevail. What the scripture says, no weapon. No weapon. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. We got to understand it. See, but the problem is, and I don't understand it sometimes, because I'm lumping me in this too. Why our inclination to prayer is not much more intense? Do you understand the power that is available to us, that we have access to through the simple thing is prayer? Now, all right, let me go. I'm going to start meddling now. We run around here tripping about that building over there on Osborne Street. Why? Biggest financial burden in the church. And it's preventing a lot of things for his ministry goals. I ain't talking about good time and socials and dinners and all that. I'm talking about ministry. But let me ask you a question. Rhetorical, of course. I don't want nobody to call your own self out. How many of us has actually got down on our knees and prayed for God to bless us with that situation over? I'm gonna tell you something. God can wipe that mortgage out. He can do it. The power is there. And as you tell us in Matthew 7, ask. And what happened? You're gonna receive. See? You will find. Knock, door will be open. And then see, it's as if Jesus knew that it was going to take some of us an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. So he come back in the verse and add this to it. Whosoever ask it will receive. Whosoever seek it will find. Whosoever knock it will be open. Here's the problem. What's your it? What's your it? See, because if your it is not about God's glory, God not going to bless you indeed. Now, I say bless you indeed, because God blessed her. See, you sitting here this morning, that's a blessing. You still breathing fresh air, that's a blessing. You in your right mind, that's a blessing. You got a reasonable portion of health and strength, that's a blessing. Your children are okay. That's a blessing. Huh? Some of us got jobs to go to Monday. That's a blessing. Some of us don't have to go to their job Monday. That's another blessing. Yeah, I got sad for a quick minute when the alert came. My daughter called me and said, Daddy, you saw they closed the school. I said, no, I didn't see that. She said, yeah, it was on Channel 9. I said, okay. And, man, for a minute, I said, golly, man, that means we're going to have to go in June. And then all of a sudden, I thought about it. I said, you know what? Mama's little Pookie can stay home with Mama, and I ain't got to deal with him. Praise the Lord. But I want to say, you know, I'm looking for things. I would like things to get back to normal. But that's what I would like. But see, what I know is God is in control. It's going to happen the way God wants it to happen. It's going to end when God says it will end. You can take all the tests you want. If you don't get it, it's by God's grace. If you do get it, God allowed it. Either way, don't take it up with the doctor. Don't take it up with your boss. Don't take it up with me. Talk to God. Practicality of prayer. See, we got to be careful in our blessings because, see, God has blessed some of us to a point where we done put him on the back burner. We more involved and focused and fixated on the blessings, and we done forgot all about the blessor. See, that's what drove Jabez to his next point. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Or as one version said, cause me pain. Let me tell you something. And most of you know this already. When God blesses you, devil shows up. First of all, he upset because he felt like you didn't deserve it. Second of all, he wants to show God that you didn't appreciate it. Why? How does he do that? He turned the focus in on you. See, about what I've got, what I accomplished. We just eliminate them little few simple words. By the grace of God, I got this degree. By the grace of God, I was able to buy this home. By the grace of God, I was able to buy this automobile. But we just leave him out the equation. You know how much money I make? No. A couple of weeks later, you know how I'm unemployed? No. It's all about God, and it's about prayer. And church, until we recognize and realize how much power is available to us, we're going to sit here like the Israelites who circled the mountains for 40 years. We're going to be stuck in the mud with bald head tires on our car. We ain't going nowhere. God first. See, this is the problem we got. This is the problem we got. It's that order. See, unfortunately, even for church folk, the order has become me, then God, then others. But just like there was an entity that sought to change times and laws, we can't change God's formula. God says him first, others second, you last. And the reason why he wanted you to be last, he don't want you to worry about you. He wants you to focus on him. Minister to others, and he will take care of you. You go over there and read in Ephesians about putting on the armor of God. God gives you everything but something for your back. Because he got your back. Let them gossip. Let them talk about you. But you get close to God. See, because when you start walking close to God, walking with God, being blessed by God, doing work for God, you will be attacked. But here's the thing, Jabez is saying, Lord, I know because you blessed me, and you blessed me indeed, that the evil is coming up against me. But what I'm praying for, Lord, is that the evil don't change me, that it don't transform me into something that you don't want me to be. Even when the evil comes, Lord, help me to stand up and glorify your holy name. To bless you. To be about your business. Putting self on the back burner. Because if you do that, Lord, I'm going to be okay. And then what happens? Just fades off the scene with these few words. And God granted all that he asked. Now, see, don't lose sight of that little tidbit in the first verse. Jabez was more honorable. That speaks to character. That speaks to the fact that Jabez had put God first in his life. That Jabez wanted to uplift and glorify God's name all around him. That Jabez wanted to do more ministry for him. See, he didn't just get blessed just because he asked. His devotion brought about his promotion. And God rewarded his devotion by blessing him. And not only blessing him, but blessing him indeed. You want God to bless you indeed? You know, there have been a lot of blessings indeed in our lives. Most of us done forgot about it. If it wasn't for those blessings indeed, we wouldn't be in here right now. I got many friends in the graveyard. Many friends that spent most of their life in penitentiary. Many friends hooked on drugs. Friends with AIDS. And the problem, when I look at it, is that I was out there doing the same things they were doing. But somehow, some way, God put his hand on me and he blessed me indeed. And when we think about that, if you just take the time to pause a minute, step back from your busy life and think about all that God has done for you, you can't help but give him glory. Let's make it a purpose, a commitment in our hearts and mind that we're going to be more inclined to prayer. It's the most powerful weapon next to Jesus Christ at our disposal. There's nothing going on with you that God can't handle. Someone said one time, yeah, but I prayed for my mother. I prayed for my sister. I prayed, and God didn't deliver them. I said, well, you got to understand. Sometimes God takes the disease away. And sometimes he takes the body away from the disease. But here's the question. What is it that this world, that sin, and the enemy can take away from you that God can't give back to you? But I remember in my text, somewhere it said that the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ, is going to rise. Nothing this world, this enemy, can take from you that God can't give back to you. Leave here with this morning. God has already blessed you tremendously. And if you would just take the time to pause and meditate and reflect, I guarantee you it'll drive you to tears when you start thinking about all the good things that God has done for you. When you think about all the bad situations you put yourself in and God brought you through it. When you think about how God is still working things out for you. Being there for you. And you haven't even asked. Now what would happen if you begin to ask and seek and knock? What would he do? your promotion through your devotion. Draw close to him. Say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you, messed up as it is. All the hang-ups, all the snares and the traps that I keep falling into, but I'm going to give them to you this morning, Lord. Why? Because I want you to bless me and bless me indeed. And I'm hoping. Right now I'm asking for a favor. That everyone in here this morning will make it a priority to pray about our property. I don't think we understand what we could be doing with that. We're in a mess of a community where folks are going to a Christless grave every second of the day. And we got a facility that could be a lighthouse in the darkness of this community. And it's sitting there empty. We got to get to the point, beloved, where this is all about God and his glory and his kingdom. His kingdom come. His will be done. That's what it's all about. I heard more people saying this week, I think Jesus is about to come. Not because they had a Bible study, not because they've been to church, not because they had a relationship with a Christian, because they're scared of the coronavirus. But we can't go running to God in fear. We got to run to God in love. Let's commit to pray, beloved. Everything you think is wrong, pray about it. Everything you don't like about me, pray for me. Because I know this. If you pray, and I know that God's hand is with me, we're going to end up in the same place. What's our territory? Our will plus our weakness coupled with God's strength and God's will equals expanded territory. Because I read a statement a long time ago. He who has God in everything has no more than he who has God alone. Because God is everything. Will you join me? Maybe there's somebody here today that want to come down and say, Lord, I'm rededicated, I'm recommitting. I want to give my life to you. I want you to take charge. I want your hand to be with me. I want you to keep me from evil. I want you to enlarge my territory so I can do more for you. If so, come on down. You tired of walking through this mess alone. You want God right by your side, step by step. Matter of fact, if you're smart, you'll take a step back and let him get in front. Follow him. Does anyone want to give their life to Jesus this morning? The worst thing we could do is leave this world without a cry, without a relationship with God. God is the God of all his people, but God is also a God of individuals. How do I know that? That's why they call it a personal relationship. Personal is about one-on-one. How much time have you spent with God? How How much time have you spent on your knees? How many times have you asked God to forgive you? See, it's not about getting down there, praying a prayer, asking God to forgive you, jumping up and sitting back and waiting for something to happen. If it don't happen today, pray again tomorrow. If it don't happen tomorrow, pray again the next day. And keep on praying. And Jacob said, Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. Not just bless me, but bless me indeed. Here's the thing. And this is the thing, if you didn't get nothing else, I want you to get this. God wants to bless you. It's in his nature to bless. All you got to do is read the scripture. He causes his sun and his rain to fall on just and the unjust. It's in his nature. He wants to bless you. Question is, do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? If you do, you're going to have to embrace the practicality of prayer, because that's where your power lies. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.